What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take this morning's look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. Last week, in the final stretch of the preliminary hearing for the Odebrecht bribes, the lawyer Luis Eduardo Camacho Gonzalez, who defends Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares, requested a dismissal in favour of their clients, because the money they received from the construction company are not a bribe, but payment for the provision of, quote, a service, unquote. We want the Martinelli brothers to be tried for lobbying, Camacho told Judge Maloisa Marquinez. But that's not what the children of former President Ricardo Martinelli Barrichal confessed to Judge Raymond Deary of the Eastern District Court of New York on the 20th of May. I have committed a crime and I want to take responsibility for it, whatever sentence the court imposes on me. Those who have suffered the most from this matter are my compatriots, the people of Panama. I hope to be able to render accounts in my country, said Ricardo Alberto. In the 23 months that I've been incarcerated, I've had enough time to think and reflect on my mistakes. Never in my life have I felt so sorry, and I want to make up for myself by apologizing for my mistakes, said Luis Enrique. This is how it is in the documents released on Wednesday by Judge Deary's office, which contains the transcripts of the oral hearing held on May the 20th. The press had access to the document through the electronic records of the court. The brothers were sentenced to 36 months in prison, pleading guilty to a charge of conspiring at least $28 million in bribes from Odebrecht, using the U.S. financial system following, according to them, their father's instructions, as noted in a technical file from the United States Department of Justice Bureau of Prisons. They will be released in January of 2023. Judge Deary also imposed a $250,000 fine and ordered the filing of four additional charges against Luis Enrique and two others against Ricardo Alberto. Although he informed them that day that the conviction was appealable, none of them objected. If the experience of being incarcerated for this length of time, separated from their families and loved one, doesn't make them, as them, change, then nothing short of nails in the grave will, Deary said. Judge Martinez has not yet decided whether to accept the request to prosecute the Martinelli Linares, as well as their father and 47 other people, for all of them. The public ministry requested a summons to trial for the alleged commission of the crime of money laundering. The Government Justice and Constitutional Affairs Commission of the National Assembly once again postponed the debate on Bill 625, which adopts the legislation for the extinction of illicit assets in the country. The proposal, which came to the legislature from the Ministry of Public Security in April of 2021, will return to a legislative subcommittee. This as a result of the fact that the Commission decided that they will discuss the issue broadly to achieve the necessary reforms and advance with the legislative process. The subcommittee will be made up of PRD deputies Victor Castillo, Emily Garcia Miro, as well as Fatima Agrizal from Cambio Democratico. This group will have a term of 10 working days to present modifications to the project. During the session, chaired by Deputy Leandro Avila of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party, Garcia Miro, Secretary of the Commission, read the report prepared by the first subcommittee that analysed the initiative. Said subcommittee was made up of Deputy Corino Cano, who still occupies a chair on the commission, and then Commissioners Crispiano Adames and Juan Diego Vasquez. The deputy commissioners concluded that a new proposal should be drafted in harmony with the Constitution and attached to the socio-political reality of the country and the existing criminal law. In the considerations reflected in the report, they referred to the presumption of innocence, due process, and the right to private property. The report also spoke of the lack of details on the financing of the figure and who will administer that justice, as well as the process of training human resources to integrate the legal figure into the Panamanian system. The private sector will not be part of a second stage of the dialogue table in disagreement over the parameters that have been established, such as the agenda, the unequal participation of the productive sector, and the methodology. We cannot allow it to be a dialogue just to subdue the productive sector, announced Ruben Castillo, president of the National Council of Private Enterprise, CONEP. This was at a press conference on Wednesday. Castillo said that they sent a letter to the dialogue mediators explaining the situation of disadvantages in which they will sit at the table. But with the methodology and the agreements that were defined in the agenda in its first phase, it is not possible to move forward, he added. However, Castillo said that CONEP could change its mind and participate if there is a favourable response to its requests. Marcelo Galindo, president of the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture, acknowledged that at this time, the private sector is not part of the dialogue table. In fact, for the meeting scheduled for this Thursday, the 6th of October, among the participants of the table, the business associations have not even received a formal invitation to it. In a letter sent to José Domingo Ulloa, Archbishop of Panama, dated the 3rd of October, CONEP details 7 requirements to join the talks: qualification of the mediator, definition of clear rules by the mediator, methodology, legitimacy of the actors, definition of topics and objectives, information necessary for dialogue, and respect for constitutional rights. The administrator of the Tourist Authority of Panama, the ATP, Van Eskildsen, told La Prensa that in the process of certifying the project for fiscal tourist incentives, there were no conflicts of interest. Any developer could submit projects to apply for these initiatives, Eskildsen said, and detailed, quote, "The process began with the ATP and later passed to other entities. The ATP technicians reviewed to verify that they met all the requirements, and if they fully complied with them, the companies received their due certification," unquote. After obtaining the certification, business groups must continue with the process. The mechanism for accessing tax credits is indirect and simplified, is as follows. Interested parties register a company with the Securities Market Superintendents, the SMB. 9 did it for 25 hotels. They offer the shares on the stock exchange, and to whoever buys them, that is the investor. The state returns the value of what they paid, exempting them from taxes. In other words, to stop collecting. The Prensa consulted Eskildsen about 2 specific cases published in the edition of this Wednesday, the 5th of October, Pearl Island and the Hampton by Hilton Hotel in David. In the first 2 development groups that Eskildsen worked with, though this was before entering the ATP, are involved. The second is from his ex-brother-in-law, Alfonso Naranjo, who also appears on the board of another company, which runs for Salina Projects. David's hotel opened 3 months after obtaining certification. Regarding the latter, Eskildsen pointed out, after Law 122, December of 2019, came into effect, any tourist public accommodation development could apply for certification. Every applicant went through the same eligibility review process. And he added, if you argue that because you are a relative you would receive or received better treatment, the answer is no, and I assure you that on my instructions they were stricter in the evaluation of that particular case. One of them has already collected all the signatures. 2 more are close to reaching the goal, and the rest are still in the race. This is how the competition goes for the signatures for those who aspire to be candidates for Mayor of Panama in the 2024 elections, a position currently held by PRD José Luis Fábrega. According to data from the Electoral Tribunal, updated until Monday, that was the 3rd of October, that was on the Electoral Bulletin number 5181, 4 of the 12 pre-candidates are the ones who have achieved the greatest citizen support to reach the minimum of 8,243 signatures required to obtain one of the 3 candidacies. This is the current independent, Edison Brosse, to whom the Tribunal Electoral endorsed 8,666 signatures. They are followed by Ivan Barasa, who has collected 5,386, Luis Casis with 5,038, and Luis Pinedo with 3,156. A little further down from the goal are Ebelgueto Barrios with 2,205, Sandra Escorcia with 503, Dixiana Acosta with 209, Oscar Nino with 86, Jair Quintanero with 15, Gabriel Rebellion with 13, Benjamin Flores with 4, and Jorge Matsufuji with 3 signatures. But in this fight, proposals also count. Edison Brosse proposes to base his management on 4 axes: economy, security, open government, and sustainable development. For example, on the subject of security, he says that he will strengthen the video surveillance centre and the municipal police. In addition, he will eliminate the so-called well-kept and will establish a more efficient lighting. Regarding the economic issue, he points out that he will work on a network of local markets and electricity or electric mobility. And lastly, gasoline with 95 and 91 octane will register a price increase as of this Friday, the 7th of October, while diesel will drop, the National Energy Secretary confirmed on Wednesday. The new fuel prices will apply from the 7th of October to the 21st. It is important to note that currently the price of fuel is frozen at $3.25 nationwide. The state assumes a difference before the distribution companies. According to the SNE report, 95-octane gasoline will rise 3 cents per gallon and cost $4.12, while 91-octane gasoline, that will rise 8 cents and will be sold at $3.91 for the gallon. In the case of low-sulfur diesel, it is reported it will have a decrease of 10 cents and a gallon will cost $4.25. And that's it. There we go. That's our look. Those are some of the pieces of news relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled on this morning's Breakfast Show.